भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Divinity and Divine Service, text number 17. This is one of the very key slokas of a Srimad Bhagavatam. Shingatam Svakata Krishna. Shingatam Svakata Krishna. Punya Shravana Kirtanaha Kridayantasto Hi Abhadrani Vidunoti Suhit Satam Srinvatham, those who have developed the urge to hear the message of Svakata, his own words, Krishna, the personality of Godhead, Punya, virtuous, Shravana, hearing, Kirtanaha, chanting, Hridayantasto, within one's heart, he certainly, abhadrani, desire to enjoy matter, vidunati, cleanses, benefactor, suhit, benefactor, satam, of the truthful. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is a Paramatma, super soul in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Purport. It's a long purport, so we'll just do only small first paragraph. The messages of the personality of God at Sri Krishna are non-different from Him. Whenever, therefore, offenseless hearing and chanting of the Lord are undertaken, it is to be understood that Lord Krishna is present there in the form of transcendental sound, which is as powerful as the Lord personally. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shishtashaka declares clearly that the holy name of the Lord has all the potencies of the Lord, and that He has endowed His innumerable names with the same potency. So there are a couple of paragraphs there. 1, 2, 3, 4 more. So probably, you know, whoever is doing tomorrow, they may continue this verse. Om Agyana Timurandasya Nananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruvena Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Putale Swayam Rupa Kadamahim Sadatisva Padantikam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasadi Gaurapakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare. This is a very key sloka of Srimad Bhagavatam, but I may not be doing full justice today to this sloka because I wanted to talk more on the appearance of Lord Vamandev and also the appearance of Jiva Goswami, so which I felt that, you know, it's more appropriate to talk today. So someone can do justice to this verse tomorrow. But nevertheless, you know, all our topics are related to Krishna and Krishna Katha, you know, and devotees of the Lord. So we are in any way connected to the Lord. And the Lord will be more happy when we talk about His pure devotees than Himself, you know. But still we make it a point that to talk about the Lord. So just we'll touch upon one or two points, you know, about the hearing, you know, which has been explained here. So You know how our process, you know, starts with Shravanam Kirtanam, right? So we have to hear and then chant. And then if you do that, then we can remember the Lord, you know. That is our process. So more emphasis is given on hearing process here. Now, forget about material. Forget about, sorry, spiritual. Even the material angle, you know, hearing is so important. You know, we could see all these persons, you know, the lectures and other things these days, you know. It's coming in all, you know, in the internet, and people hear all the time. So hearing is given a lot of importance. And also, I believe there was an experiment that was done, I think somewhere in Europe, I think, to find out whether animals are listen to music, you know, and also the plants also, you know. And it was found out that they kept two plants side by side, and for one of the plants they kept a music, and the other plant did not have a music to hear to. Now this plant was actually, you know, bending towards the music, you know, which means that even the plants have got the listening capacity. So that is why, if you could recall some of the lectures, Srila Prabhupada said, if you chant holy name, it will benefit all living entities, you know. He did not mean only the human being. Srila Prabhupada also meant the living entities in the form of, you know, trees and plants too, because they can also hear us, you know. We think that they cannot, but they can. And the other thing, as we know, is the deer, you know. Deer is very much attached to music, right? And how do the hunter catch a deer? It's very difficult to catch a deer, you know what I mean? It's not very, very difficult, you know. The moment you run, you know, to catch it, and it will run twice as faster as you can. So it's very difficult. So what they do, the hunter, they play a very nice music, you know, through the flute or whatever may be. And then the deer, you know, is captivated by the music, and slowly it comes towards you, and then the hunter puts the net and catches them. That is how the deer is captured. Because the hearing sense is very, very powerful. Okay. We will move on to two topics today. The appearance of Sri Vamanadev, and then the appearance of Sri Jiva Goswami. So first of all, we have to know, why does the Lord come into the material world? Okay. The Lord is very, very happy in his abode. Okay? There is no need for the Lord to come to the material world, isn't it? Why do the Lord have to come? He is very happy there. We are conditioned soul, we are tied up here, but the Lord did not have to come, isn't it? But the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, what is his mission statement? When you go to any companies for work, or, you know, or any interviews and all that, you see a big board there, you know, mission statement. What is the mission statement? We want to be the first class manufacturing company in the world, and we want to project our dollars to 90 billion by end of this year. That's the mission statement. Right? Everything has been copied from the Lord, you know. Lord Krishna has also got a mission statement. Do anyone know that? What's the mission statement of Lord? Yeah, exactly. In Bhagavad Gita 4.8, the Lord clearly says his mission, okay? He says 3 points, okay? First one, he says, Paritranaya Sadhunam, to protect the devotees. That's the first point he comes. Second is, Vinashaya Cha Truskritam, to annihilate or to destroy the miscreants. And third is, Dharma Samstapanarthaya, to establish the religious principles, millennium after millennium. Lord comes, you know. He never says, I'll stop. Whenever these three things are there, the Lord will come. Okay? And today's example of Vamanadev is a very good example how the Lord has fulfilled his mission statement. Okay? He will never violate anyway. So, Bali Maharaj story we are seeing today. Now, what happened? After the churning of the milk ocean by the demons and the demigods, things did not work out very nice for these two. Okay? Always there is a problem between demigods and demons, you know. Even though they formed a truce, right, to churn the ocean of milk, things did not go well. And first of all, you know, another aspect from the material point of view is, the milk, they were churning the ocean of milk to get nectar. But what did they get in the beginning? In the material world, if you want something, you will not get exactly what you want. You get exactly the opposite of what you want. So they wanted actually the nectar, but they got poison in the beginning. This is one more indication of the material world. So anyway, it was all solved. Mohini avatar has come and they stole the nectar from the demons and gave it to the demigods, and they're quite upset. So this arose a fight little bit later. So there was a fight which took place between a huge battle between the demigods and the demons, and in that battle Bali Maharaj died. The hero of the story is Bali Maharaj, but he died. So how could we proceed further? What happened? The demon's guru, Sukracharya, is very, very powerful. He can bring back people alive after the death. So what happens in the battlefield at the time when Sukracharya used to be there, when of the enemies cut the head or the hand, what they do, they preserve it and come back to him. And he will do to his mystic power, he will put them back to life. But if the missing part is gone, then he cannot do anything. Okay, so they make it a point to bring the head and the body, and he will attach it and give back life to them. So what they did, when the Bali Maharaj was killed in the battlefield, they took Bali Maharaj's body, came into Sukracharya, and Sukracharya regained his life to Bali Maharaj. So what Bali Maharaj thought, fine, now I got a second life, I am going to use it properly, because his goal was to defeat the demigods at any cost. So he did a sacrifice known as Vishwajit Yajna. There was a big Yajna he performed, and then he became quite powerful. With that power, what happened was, in the sacrifice, you know, he was so powerful that he was getting all the paraphernalia needed for the war. The chariot, the horse, the bow, arrow, etc. Everything he got. So he used all that to go to the Indrapuri. This is a place where Indra lives, his capital. He went there and he attacked them. Now, looking at the powers of Bali Maharaj, Indra got bewildered. Then immediately what happens those days, you know, if there is any problem or any calamities, they go and approach the spiritual master. That is a tradition those days. So what happened? Bali Maharaj approached his spiritual master, Sukracharya, and asked him, see, Indra has come with a big army. What should I do? Then Sukracharya said, fine, this time you will not going to win. So it's better for you to hide somewhere and become invisible, but not visible to the eyes of the demons, because you will be killed this time. So what happened? Indra with his associates, he fled away and he went somewhere else and was hiding. Now Bali Maharaj, he conquered the heavenly planet, he took over the heavenly kingdom and he was enjoying there. That's the scenario. Okay? Now what happened? Being the mother of the demigod Aditi, she was very upset. She was saying, oh, my children, you know, they're taken away from the belongings and they were thrown out, you know. So she became very unhappy and morose, Aditi. Aditi Mataji. But today she is very happy, you know, because she's in the service of the Lord. So looking at the wife's sadness, the husband, you know, Kashyapa Muni, also was a little bit agitated, you know, because normally you say, you know, when the wife is not happy, the husband is also, you know, slightly agitated, you know, because that's a family, normally, you know. So Kashyapa Muni inquired, you know, what is happening, you know, and she explained to him about the problems, you know, what has happened and all that. Of course, Kashyapa Muni knows about it. Then Kashyapa Muni asked her to perform a sacrifice known as Payavrata ceremony, which has to be completed in 12 days. Now this ceremony was given to Kashyapa by Lord Brahma himself. So he in turn advised his wife to do that. And Aditi Mataji, not just Aditi, she performed the Payavrata ceremony in 12 days very nicely, and she pleased the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared in front of Aditi personally, and she said, I am very happy with the performance of your ceremony, and I am going to be soon born as a son to you and Kashyapa Muni. And he disappeared. A bit later, Aditi delivered the Supreme Personality of Godhead. See, when Lord Vishnu appeared, he appeared as a 400 form with all his paraphernalia. And then immediately he changed into a Brahmana, right? A dwarf Brahmin. And he was wearing a deer skin. Can anyone of you get me 8th canto, please? Just the cover, I want to show you. So the Lord appeared immediately after becoming a Narayana form. He changed into a dwarf Brahmana, you know, with a deer skin. He was wearing a sacred thread. And then he was carrying a danda, an umbrella, and a water jug, kamandalu. Very good. See? You can see Kashyapa and Aditi. And the Lord Vamandev, you know, dark Brahmin, immediately he changed into this form after he was born. You know, that shows that he is a Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know. Then people claim they are God. How can they transform the body quickly, you know? You know. So, very good picture of the Lord. And they personally, you know, dressing him up, you know, these elevated personalities. Okay, then immediately the Lord appeared in the sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj. And looking at Bali Maharaj, you know, everyone, you know, was offering obeisances to the Lord, including Bali Maharaj. And then looking at this Brahmana, Bali Maharaj said, you know, what can I give you in charity, you know? Because normally, you know, the Brahmins and all, they come to the king to get charity. So he said, how can I help you? How can I, what charity you want? How can I give you, you know? Then at that instance, Lord Vamandev said, I just want only 3 places of land. That's it. Then Bali Maharaj thought, this is so insignificant, okay? I am a king, great king. He's just asking only 3 places of land. So immediately he agreed. But Sukracharya, spiritual master, knew this. Immediately said, you know, Sukracharya can see the Lord as a Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. He can see. And he said, come on, do not agree to the promise. He wanted to forbade him in giving that land. But Sukracharya said, no, I've already said that I'm going to give it, you know. So I don't want to break my promise. It's improper at the time to deviate from the promise. So I will go on with my promise and I will want to give the land to the Brahmin, so-called Brahmin. So what happened? Immediately, Lord Vamandev, he took his universal form. Now, by the grace of the Lord, Bali Maharaj could see the universal form of the Lord. You know, the all-pervading Lord. Where you could see everything in the Lord. The earth, water, fire, demigods, etc. All were in the Lord. You know, and Bali Maharaj was, you know, really, you know, he could not even imagine that form. But the Lord's grace, you know, he could see that. Not many people could see that, but Bali Maharaj could see that form. And then immediately what the Lord did was, with the first step, he covered the entire lower planetary system, including the earth. Because everything is owned by him, and everything is in him. So how long it will take for him, you know, to do that? So he covered the lower planetary system. Then, again, with the second step, he covered the upper planetary system. So both the places are covered, you know, lower and upper planetary systems. And there is no place for the Lord to take the third step. So he asked Bali Maharaj, come on, where should I put the third step, you know? I don't have a place. Now what happened? In the meantime, the demons, they are very much attached to the possessions, okay? Now the associates of Bali Maharaj, they saw that the possession is gone, you know? Because Vaman, he has already agreed to Vamandev, and then the possession is gone. Immediately they got agitated, and they took the weapon and they started to fight with the Lord. In spite of Bali Maharaj telling that, no, do not fight with the Lord, you know? But they did not listen to him. They started fighting. But however, the Lord's personal associate was able to defeat all of them. That wasn't a problem for them at all. Okay. And at that point, Garuda, you know, he tied up Bali Maharaj with the ropes of Varuna, so that Bali Maharaj is restless, you know, so that he don't ask any, so that he will not do anything, you know, more harm. So he tied up Garuda, the carrier vehicle of Lord Vishnu, tied up the Bali Maharaj. Then Bali Maharaj was basically reduced to nothing, okay. At that stage, He was contemplating what they should do, you know, because when someone is reduced to a low level, or when someone is in a humble state, then they can think clearly. This is one of the lessons the Lord is proving, you know, because all the time the Bali Maharaj was thinking, yes, now I conquered the lower at one stage. Bali Maharaj was thinking, yes, I've conquered the lower planetary system. I've also conquered Indra's planet. Now I'm very much powerful. So this thought had made him, you know, little bit proud, basically, you know. So by doing this action, the Lord is showing that humility, you know, is always welcome in the process of devotion service. Now, Bali Maharaj was extremely truthful. Okay? He was contemplating that that he should not want to deviate from the promise. Because he thought that if we break the promise of not giving, you know, anything to the Lord, even the third step, he was thinking what might happen is he has to suffer the consequences in the hellish planet. He was contemplating that. He was also thinking, what will I do if I break the promise? Then my name will be defamed in the eyes of the society, which he does not want to do because he's a king, okay? He wants to protect his prajas. So I can't do that. So in that way he was contemplating what I should do and all that. And also in a nice way he was offering prayers to the Lord, you know, mentally, you know, because he was really confused. He did not know what to do. Because the Lord took the lower planetary system, the upper planetary system, third step he does not know. He was wondering at the time. He was just in a thoughtful prayer mood. He was praying how the elevated personalities of the Lord, they have given up the relationship, family relationship and possessions for the sake of the Lord. And he was also thinking how some of the devotees have even given up their life for the service of the Lord, you know. He was thinking so many things. But in our case, you know, we can think how Srila Prabhupada has dedicated his life for the service of the Lord. So from our end, we can meditate on the thought. But Bali Maharaj is also thinking of that, okay, how the Lord. And hence, while he was thinking like that, what happened? His grandfather. Who is his grandfather? Bali Maharaj's grandfather. Prahlad Maharaj appeared. He appeared and he said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has done a favor to you by taking away the possession in a tricky manner. So you should be very attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is a chance for you to serve the Lord. Because even by taking the possession, you are serving the Lord. So in that way, it's a good thing for you to serve the Lord. And also he was saying how, you know, one has to be, basically giving all the possessions in the service of the Lord. That is what he was saying. And then Lord Brahma appeared. Then Bali Maharaj's wife, Vindhya Devi, Vindhya Vali, she also appeared. And they all were glorifying the Lord because the Lord was there personally, you know. They were all glorifying the Lord and they requested the Lord, you know, that to release him because he was tied by the Varuna. Then the Lord released the Bali Maharaj's robes of Varuna. And then at that stage, Bali Maharaj was very clear. He said, Lord, you can place your third foot on my head. I'm willing to do, because all the time he was contemplating, you know, because it is like, you know, surrendering yourself, you know, which is the highest process, which is the highest step in our process. See, we can give everything, okay? One may give the possession. If someone wants, I can give my glass or my mobile phone. But if someone asks me for my life, it's very difficult. That's what Krishna wants, basically, you know, surrendering. Atma Nivedanam. It's very difficult, Shopper. So Bali Maharaj is contemplating on that. What should I do? What I should do? You know, there's no other place. Finally, you know, he said, fine, I'll surrender to you. What can I do? You know, that is what exactly the Lord was wanting, you know. But he is getting a lot of reward also later. So in that way, you know, they were all requesting the Lord to release him. The Lord released. And then he offered a step. And the Lord put a step on Bali Maharaj's head. And then he was pushed into the Sutala planet. Where the Lord said that because of his deed, he is going to be a companion to him and serve him in the Sutala planet, which the Lord is still doing. Okay? So this is a great fortune for Bali Maharaj. And then what happened? This made Indra to re-enter his kingdom, which he was anxiously waiting. So Indra re-entered his kingdom and he got all the opulence back. And that ends the story of Bali Maharaj. Sri Bali Maharaj ki. Now, we move on to another great personality today. It's Jiva Goswami appearance, life sketch. Jiva Goswami was born to the son of Vallabha, Sri Vallabha. Sri Vallabha, Arupa and Sanatana Goswami, they were all brothers. Okay? So in other words, Jiva Goswami is a nephew to Sanatana and Rupa. Or Sanatana and Rupa are uncles of Jiva Goswami. So get this point right. Okay? And Jiva Goswami was actually the youngest of all the Goswami. If you see the six Goswamis, the Jiva Goswami is the youngest. He's a prophetic writer too. It was said that Jiva Goswami's ancestor came from South India. He was ailing. They're coming from Karnataka. And they belong to the family known as Saraswat Brahmins. From Karnataka they have that. Now he was, Jiva Goswami himself was born in Ramkeli in the year 1513. Now at that time when Jiva Goswami was born, the Muslims were ruling the city of West Bengal, the state of West Bengal. And the governor at the time was Nawab Hussain Shah. Now, Jiva Goswami's father and his two uncles, right, Sanatana and Rupa, both were working for the Muslim government. They were leading a very prominent place, like a minister, something like a cabinet minister today, you know. That's the post, you know. So they were very healthy, you know. But even though they were wealthy, they were very cultured, okay. These days, you see, if wealth is given, they are not cultured. Exceptions are there. But normally, you know, that is why in the Bali Maharaj, you know, that one point I remember now, the Lord was saying to Bali Maharaj, when he was contemplating, the Lord was saying, the material opulence will be a great hindrance or a danger to a non-devotee. Right? But the opulence, the material opulence is a benediction to a devotee. The Lord is saying that. I forgot that point. Right? So if someone is getting, you know, the benediction from the Lord for a devotee, that is a benediction. For a non-devotee, he said it's a danger because they will not follow the rules and regulations. There's no culture. But these brothers, you know, they were following culture. They were very pious also, well-behaved, educated, and hence, you know, they were leading a very nice life because they got money. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Ramkeli, he happened to see, or put it this way, Jiva Goswami was very fortunate to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, the Lord himself. Okay. Now, at that time, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Jiva Goswami, he was a small kid. Okay. Now, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did was, he took the dust of his lotus feet and put it on his head. Normally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not do that, you know, very rarely, but he has done for Jiva Goswami. And he said that, this person, this boy, is going to be the future scholar of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that. So it will become, and the Lord said. And also, when Jiva Goswami, even though when he was an infant, he was constantly meditating of the Lord. Because, you know, the Lord's dust is there. Now, later on, when Jiva Goswami's father and the uncle, they took the renounce order of life because they want to associate with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jiva Goswami was left alone with his mother. He was very much depressed, but still, you know, he was growing up, you know, so he was in the company of his mother, so he could not do anything. So he was tolerating, you know. At that time, okay, a time will come where I will also leave. That was in his mind, okay? Because he saw his fathers and two uncles, you know. So when you are young, you see someone going across to, you know, the spiritual renounce order. That will form a, you know, impression in your life. So that he was already got that, you know. Yes, I am going to leave. I don't want a family life. I want to have a renounce order of life. It's already in his mind. And also, whenever he'll think of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or his father and his uncle, he used to go unconscious. Faint, basically, you know. Such was his devotion to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as he grew up, you know, it was said that Jiva Goswami took up the deity worship of Sri Ramakrishna, it says here. He would carefully decorate them, do a very good, nice offering, worship, offer bhoga to the Lord. And in this way, he used to, you know, was increasing his devotion service to the Lord. And even when he was also playing, he was making sure that all his game has got some connection with Krishna's pastimes. Right? Sometimes we say, you know, when children play games, you know, there's no relation to Krishna at all. You know what I mean? The shooting game and all that. But those days, you know, children played a game that was included in Krishna's pastimes, you know. That was games they picked up. Even while studying, Jiva Goswami studied under local pandits, and the local pandits observed him to be a great intellect. He's a very quick learner. You know, nowadays if you apply for a job, they ask, what do you want, you know. They should be flexible and a quick learner. So Jiva Goswami was a very quick learner, you know. He was very proficient in grammar, poetry. So later, when his father passed away, Jiva Goswami was almost, you know, he's growing up. He wanted to go to Navadvip to take the association of Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu, he went to take the association. So at that time, all the Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they were very happy to see the nephew, right? Very, because he was just growing up, so dedicated and all that. Now, Nityananda Prabhu personally took him and introduced to all the members of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's family, including Sachi Matadi and Srinivas Thakur. He personally took. Not only that, Nityananda Prabhu took Jiva Goswami to all the 9 islands of Navadvip personally to show him the pastimes of the Lord. See, what are the favors he has got, you know, for Jiva Goswami? So no wonder, you know, he has to be a Goswami. How can it, you know, not work for him? Right. Then Nityananda Prabhu ordered him to go to Kashi, Varnashri. At the time, all the spiritual education was being taught at Varnashri. Okay, Varnashri, right? Kashi. Now at Kashi, he studied under the direction of Madhusudana Vachaspati. Right? He is a disciple of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. See, what has happened was, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was talking, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Now, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in turn gave those nectar to Madhusudana Vachaspati, right? Who established a school at Kashi. Now that school, Jiva Goswami was going and learning that. He was practicing that. So at one stage, when he was well acquainted with all the Vedanta philosophy or conclusions, he left Kashi and he went to Vrindavan to join his brothers. Sorry, join his uncles and his uncle, basically his uncle, Rupa and Sanatana. There, Jiva stayed with Rupa Goswami, and he got all the directions from Rupa Goswami. In fact, Rupa Goswami also taught him on the essential matters of Srimad Bhagavatam. He was teaching Srimad Bhagavatam also. And then Rupa Goswami initiated Jiva Goswami and asked him to serve the deity of Radha Damodar. Incidentally, you know, Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami did not accept any disciples. If you see, interesting point here. But the condition is that they accepted Jiva Goswami, because Rupa Goswami accepted Jiva Goswami, right? That's the only exception. Including Jiva Goswami also, all the 3 brothers, they did not accept any disciples at all. So at that time, this is due to the fact that, not that they were not qualified, okay? Not that Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami are not qualified, but this is due to the fact that there was a disturbing social and religious culture prevailing at the time in the North India, you know. So what happened was, whoever wants to take initiation, Rupa, Sanatana, they directed them to Gopala Bhatta Goswami, because Gopala Bhatta Goswami was coming from a rich South Indian Brahmin family. So just to project the image, look at that, those times, you know, even the Goswamis did that, you know. They projected the image so that, you know, in the future, it look good on them, you know, externally, not internally, externally, you know. So anyone who wants to take initiation has been directed by Rupa and Sanatana. In fact, Rupa and Sanatana, they are the top, okay. They have read so many books. Gopala Bhatta Goswami, of course, is there, but he's not as prominent as Rupa and Sanatana. Right? So then directed to Gopalabhatta Goswami, who gave initiation. Then later on, what happened in the future generations, there was a lot of legacies, you know, books have come up, literatures have come up, and many temples have grown up, you know, with the patronage of many kings, and hence the social religious climate was slightly better. So at that time, what happened? Jiva and Goswami, till they did not initiate, so they passed on the initiation aspects to Narottama Dasa Thakur and Shyamananda Pandit. Both were from the fallen family. They are not from the Brahmin family. So at that time, the society was viewing, fine, they are all Krishna conscious, you know. At that time, when the consciousness of people has changed, basically, they, Rupa and Sanatana, they asked Shyamananda and Narottama Dasa to initiate. See the cult they are following, you know what I mean? According to the social culture, they were changing the norms. This is exactly what Srila Prabhupada wanted, you know. So Srila Prabhupada, if you see, he has embedded the cult of these Goswamis, you know. They were respecting the society very much. So Prabhupada exactly followed the same cult. And then they were widely initiating Shyamananda and Narottama Das Thakur. And Jiva Goswami made it a point to serve his senior Vaishnavas very devotedly and following the footsteps of the senior Vaishnavas. And he was also serving all the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Regardless, you know, if there is a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jiva Goswami made it a point to serve them. And all the senior, you know, that is where he was getting the mercy. Now, Jiva Goswami's life in Vrindavan was full of dedication, renunciation and devotion. He used to wear a lion cloth, a simple cloth, and he was extremely, you know, engaged in evacuating the places of Krishna's pastime. Right? Even though he was building a lot of temples for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he himself slept on the branches of the tree or beneath the tree. He did not want any opulent places. He took so much of hardship in the service of the Lord. See, Jiva Goswami. Sri Radha Damodar temple was built by him, and that deity was carved by Rupa Goswami himself, because Rupa Goswami can carve. So he carved it and gave it to Jiva Goswami. And that is why Radha Damodar temple was built in Vrindavan. Now, seeing Jiva Goswami's expert in analyzing Srimad Bhagavatam and deriving conclusions, what happened was, Rupa Goswami immediately was writing Nectar of Devotion at the time. So he wanted Jiva Goswami to be the proofreader. Imagine this, you know. Rupa Goswami has written the Nectar of Devotion, okay? He wanted Jiva Goswami, who is like a junior, you know, to proofread that. Proofreading is a final thing, right? If you go to the Hindu paper, proofreading, you know, they're getting 200k job. All they have to make is to comma, full stop, blank, grammar. You should be good, knowledgeable, and some, you know, basic things. You know, proofreader is her biggest job these days. You know, like similar to the testing of the software. The software, they break their head and write, you know. Prabhu may be knowing, right? I don't know much about software. But anyway, people will be breaking their head, you know, and writing the code. But these guys, you know, the testers, what they will do? They will change it to comma, full stop, whatever. This is missing there, missing there. Like this. Proofreader. So Sanatana Jiva Goswami was a proofreader for Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. You find this information. And seeing that, Sanatana Goswami was writing at the time the commentary on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And that was known as Vaishnavi Tosani. Okay? Now he thought that, fine, I also want a proofreader. So he engaged Jiva Goswami in doing the proofreading for his literature, Vaishnava Tosani. And Sanatana Goswami ordered Jiva Goswami. You know, he said, now you have to write a commentary because you are so expert in Srimad Bhagavatam. So you should write a commentary on the aspects of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Jiva Goswami wrote a commentary known as Lagu Vaishnava Tosani. There's a commentary. Now later, Sanatana and Rupa passed away. Now it was a big separation for Jiva Goswami. But nevertheless, he continued in the tradition of the Goswamis, whoever has inaugurated the process, you know. He wanted to continue on the line. And then There was many pastimes of Jiva Goswami. We just discussed a couple, you know. At once, Jiva Goswami traveled to Agra to debate with the Rajputs, you know. At the time, you know, he established the fact that Jamuna is superior than Ganga, because Ganga water is washed by the Lord, you know. How the Ganga is formed? It is said that when Vamanadev was taking its second step to measure the upper respiratory, planetary system, Lord Brahma saw Vamandev's foot, and then he offered some water, and that water has turned into Ganga, right, and flowed down the earth. There are many ways, you know, they're saying, but this is one of the ways it says. But the Ganga is washed, in other words, it's coming, emanating from the lotus feet of the Lord. But Jamuna is the Lord's consort, himself. So, Jiva Goswami established the fact that Jamuna is superior, you know, to Ganga. And also, the fame and the name of the six Goswamis have become so far and wide that Emperor Akbar once came to see the Goswamis, right? He was a Muslim leader. But still at the time, as I said, the Muslims were ruling India. So Emperor Akbar was a very, you know, basically a good person. So he was very much interested in the Hindu religion and all that. So he once came to see the Goswamis. Now looking at the devotion of the Goswamis, he gave them a lot of money and power to build four temples. To fill four grand temples for Krishna. The temples were Govindji, Gopinath, Madan Mohana and Jugal Kishore. So four temples, you know, were sponsored by actually Akbar in the year 1570. Another story is that Emperor Akbar was so impressed with the devotion of Goswami, with the Jiva, that he asked him, "Can I confer some title on you?" Because at that time, you know, they were honorary, you know, secretary, whatever may be the title. "Can I offer something?" But Jiva Goswami said, "No, that personal title is for me. I don't want anything for me. But instead, can you put an emperor order that there won't be any animals killed in the area of Braja? I don't want any king to come, future king, present king to come and kill any of the animals in that area." So the emperor put an order there, you know, Akbar put an order that in that area of Braja, no animal should be killed. That was what Jiva Goswami did was. Finally, Jiva Goswami has written 25 books. This is a minimum, okay? This is a very prominent one. The other things, he written a lot of commentaries. But out of the 25 books, Sat Sandarbhas are the very important book. Now quickly, Sat Sandarbha talks about six aspects. Tattva Sandarbha, Bhagavata Sandarbha, Paramatma Sandarbha, Krishna Sandarbha, Bhakti Sandarbha and Preeti Sandarbha. This is all regarding the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he split into many types. The love for the Lord, Krishna supreme authority, Paramatma aspects, you know. Because he knew so much that he kept on, you know, dividing and, you know, explaining the Lord's facts. And as I said earlier, Jiva Goswami is also serving the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu nicely. And Jiva Goswami passed in 1598 at the age of 85. It is said that Jiva Goswami is considered to be the incarnation of Visala Manjari, an eternal maid servant of Lord Krishna. So no wonder Jiva Goswami's attraction for the Lord is immense that it cannot be explained. Sri Jiva Goswami ki. So I will try to finish this here. So if there are any comments or questions. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Premanand.